I'll give you a word, sometimes two words, and you, to the extent that you can, give me the first word that pops into your head.
All right.
Okay? Network television.
Dying.
This is going to be fun, I can see. Newspapers.
Dying.
Radio.
Adapting.
Advertising.
Troubled.
Blogs.
Fascinating.
Podcasting.
Future of radio? Is that more than one word, but can I say that?
Yeah, that works.
All right.
How does preparing young men and women for careers in journalism in 2005, how has that changed from, say, 2003?
I think there's more of an awareness on the part of all of us on the faculty, and certainly there's more awareness among the students that the careers that we trained students for in the past, those careers are changing greatly. Everything from the skill set that's required for students to be successful as journalists to the competition from non-journalists and pseudo-journalists out there in the web sphere. I mean, it's a completely different environment.
Now, some folks characterize this as maybe a tempest in a teacup. It's CB radios. It's going to go away. Can you characterize the attitude maybe of the journalism department? I mean, how do you guys view all of those things that are happening?
I don't know if any one specific technology or delivery device is going to be a tempest in a teapot or is going to last. I don't know if podcasting as we know it today is going to be the way that people receive audio content forever and ever. But I do think the change in attitude or the change in the relationship between the audience and the, quote, producers of news has irrevocably changed.
Because the University of Missouri School of Journalism enjoys a reputation as the premier or certainly one of the premier schools of its kind, does that bring any added pressure for the university and the program to get this right, whatever that means?
I think so. I mean, the journalism school is not only well-known nationally and internationally, but it's one of the few nationally and internationally recognized programs on the MU campus. And so there's a lot of people watching what we do, the impact of what we do in terms of the ability to raise money, the ability to attract new students is pretty high. So, yes, we feel the pressure, but the nice thing is we have the resources committed both in terms of facilities and equipment and faculty and attitude, I think, to do it well, maybe to do it better than a lot of other folks.
Once upon a time, a young man or a woman would come to your program maybe with a desire or an interest in becoming a journalist or some other ancillary part of the program, but never having had an opportunity to do much more than, say, work on the school newspaper or if their school had a little radio station. But today they could come to you maybe with thousands of readers on a website. They may have published and shot video that has been seen by hundreds or thousands. Are you finding that, and does that change how you approach what you do?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I thought we were going to see more of that, you know, as much as 5 or 6 years ago, and it's taken a while. But now, I'd say the vast majority of students who come into the program have digital media skills of one kind or another, whether it's as simple as taking a picture with their camera phone and emailing it to a friend, all the way up to shooting and editing a movie, a documentary, a news story. They come with some level of skills. Some come in having their own blogs or worked on creating web pages, but I don't think very many students come in with the complete tool set, and they certainly, even if they're technically capable of manipulating digital media in a variety of platforms, they really haven't thought about it in a journalistic context fully yet, and that's one of the main jobs I think we have here. Sure, we have to train these students how to use the digital technologies to the extent that they need it, but it's more important for us to talk to them about how these changes in technology and how these changes in the relationship between the audience and the producers and news is going to affect journalism. It's the journalism we really add in terms of the value that these students are going to get.
Now, I want to ask you about convergence here in just a second, but I would assume that a lot of your instructors and professors are like you. They came from the streets, they did this, and so they're quite capable of teaching it from that perspective. A lot of these new technologies are significantly newer. I mean, if a professor is going to talk about blogging and citizen journalism, to what extent is it necessary that he or she might actually be doing that?
I think there's a desire to learn it, but it's very hard. I mean, the skill sets change so quickly. When I learned radio many, many years ago, the basic production tools and skills didn't change for many, many years. And even 10 years ago, when I started working on the faculty teaching, internet publishing, web publishing, I mean, HTML was pretty basic. The tools were pretty much the same. They didn't change a lot over time. But now, in the past couple of years, even a faculty member who wants diligently to know how to apply all of these skills in a real-world environment, it's a mind-boggling process. There's just not enough time in the day to learn to be good at everything. And so I do think that, on the flip side of that, we are, out of necessity as faculty, even those of us who come from a professional background and who learn technical skills and reporting skills pretty easily, by necessity, we're having to learn how to do a lot more team teaching and a lot more peer teaching on the part of students. There are students that know more about some of these technical skills than we do. And so if that, by necessity, we're being forced into doing more team teaching, more of a team approach in the classroom, I think that's a great thing, because that's a mindset as well as a skill set that these students need if they're going to be successful. They have to operate in teams. They have to understand where, their skill set runs dry and someone else can come in and pick up the ball and help them, because the kind of content these students are going to be expected to produce in the real world is going to oftentimes involve some skill they don't have, but they're going to have to take whatever they covered and get it out there for newspaper, television, radio, online, cell phones, whatever. So again, probably repeating myself, but that whole team mentality is something we all need to learn, and I'm glad we are learning it.
Now, you have a relatively new title. You're the chair of the Convergence faculty. Is Convergence a new program here at the Journalism School?
It is. In fact, it's the first new major that the J School has added in more than 50 years. Television news was the last new sequence added in the Journalism School prior to this one.
Tell us about Convergence.
Convergence probably means something different to every person. Everyone has their own definition, but the way we're defining it anyway, we're offering students an opportunity to learn how to produce content across media, essentially to reach that potential audience for their story wherever that person may be, through whatever device they might want to access that information on. So our students in the Convergence sequence are those students who have chosen to say, I want to learn how to, maybe not to do it all, but to understand the processes for delivering that information. They're going to work on stories for our newspaper, the Columbia Missourian, a daily newspaper, for KBIA, our public radio station, for KOMU, our commercial NBC affiliate, for the websites of all of those. And we're going to be experimenting with a lot of new delivery systems. We're in the process of, through a relationship with Apple and Macromedia, working on next generation of cell phone delivery of content with video and other processes. So those students in Convergence are, some of them may be ones who really just don't know what they want to do, and so they want a sample. But I think the far greater number of students who are starting in this program really don't want to be hemmed in by working in one traditional medium, because they know as consumers of information that that's not how they work. They get their news from a variety of sources.
Well, now, when I read something like you just described in the course catalog, I mean, is anybody going to be signing up? I mean, you must still have the other programs or tracks or whatever you call them. Is anybody going to, say, just take radio or just TV?
I don't think that we're going to see a wholesale abandonment of those traditional sequences anytime in the near future. But it's clear just from watching students registering for courses in the convergence sequence for the fall semester that's about to start. We've had several people who had originally decided they wanted to go into broadcast news or advertising or magazine journalism, for example, who have decided instead they want to do convergence. And if this program is successful, I think it's going to be a model that's going to be embraced by more and more students. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't still have career opportunities for students who want to work in one of those media, but I think students coming out with a broader set of skills and a broader attitude about how to reach the audience are going to be more employable than folks who have a very narrow niche that they want to fill.
And any of them that happen to hear your word association at the beginning of this interview will certainly be flocking to the convergence.
Well, you know, I was trying to be a little provocative, of course. I mean, I don't think newspapers are going to die, but I do think newspapers as we get them now, as, you know, basically the result of dead trees being thrown on our lawns in the morning, that's going to die. I mean, we're already having debates within our own newspaper faculty and staff as to the proper mix of effort toward the print product versus all of the online services that the newspaper is offering or is about to offer. I think that's going to be true of television, too. I don't think video news is dying, but when you think about people sitting down in front of a television set and committing 30 or 60 minutes of their time at the same time every day to watch the news as we choose to package it, that's going to change.
You've mentioned cell phones a couple of times. When the London subway bombings occurred, I noticed that night on all of the network TV news, some of the video that they were showing was a cell phone video shot by somebody that was trapped down there, kind of grainy, shaky, but it was kind of some of their lead video.
And it sort of puts the lie to the notion that we comfort ourselves with in the broadcast business, that people really don't want to see grainy photos or shaky video. And as long as we're more professional in our production techniques, that will protect our franchise. That's just not true. People, a large segment of the audience today wants their information quickly and conveniently, and they're willing to put up with a lot in terms of the, quote, professional quality of the individual pieces of information as long as they can be brought up to speed. And I think we're going to find that we have to deliver more content via mobile devices, but we also have to be willing to accept content from people creating it with their mobile devices and hope to somehow bring them into our chain of production so that there's some sense of loyalty to what we do rather than simply setting up their own networks for distributing content.
Well, to continue the notion of technology for just a second, I mean, you have a wireless keyboard over on your desk. You have a little cell phone thingy in your ear. I assume that's what that is.
Right.
Are you trying to expose young people and students now to lots of new technology, and what kinds of stuff are you looking at, or are they coming with these things already in hand?
A little bit of both. I mean, one of the things the Missouri School of Journalism is well known for is producing people who can go to work in the media as they exist today. But we also want to be out there on the edge a little bit and trying to predict where the business is going, what new skills are necessary to succeed at it, to try to make journalism better in this new media landscape. So yeah, we're trying to do a lot of different things with new technologies. We're working on creating podcasts and vodcasts of our work, setting up blogs, trying to learn how to best distribute content via cell phone, via the web. One of the problems we have with the mobile technology right now is the things we want to do and the software tools that are in place to let us do that are not supported very well by the network infrastructure in this country. We don't have third-generation cellular service or that kind of bandwidth in most places in the U.S., and we don't have it here in Columbia, Missouri right now. But we're anticipating that that's going to change. The fact that those technologies have proved so successful, so appealing in Asia, in Europe, it seems to me that once that, you know, we market that a little bit better and build out the infrastructure for it, that people are going to want to receive content and send content to us via mobile devices. So we have to be ready for that.
What's your take on whether you call it citizen journalism or personal publishing, this phenomenon that we've been talking about in various forms, in which the guy next door has gone to the city council meeting and come home and written a story, and maybe he's got pictures and audio. Where, if at all, does that fit into what you guys are teaching?
We are teaching it now. In fact, the Columbia Missourian has set up its own citizen journalism site called mymissourian.com, and it basically is a place for people to submit content from the local community. We have editors, journalism students, who go through the content to make sure that it meets our standards, and we're putting it up online. And we're going to be doing more of that. I don't know that we're doing it necessarily out of the most enlightened attitude, but the truth of the matter is citizen journalism exists. Citizen journalism is going to grow phenomenally over the next few years. And we can either sort of look down our noses at it, or we can embrace it. But I think journalists, the traditional journalists who think that we have the only franchise, basically, to produce news because of our special training or our special access or special government privileges or whatever, are deluding themselves, because people want to share information. Now that the tools are easy to use and getting easier every single day, citizens are going to want to produce content. They're going to want to be a part of the mix. They don't want to be passive receivers of information. So, we have to understand that and embrace it if we want to survive.
Now, you're the chair of the Convergence program, Convergence faculty. I would expect you to sort of take that rather enlightened view. Is that shared among your colleagues?
I think that attitude is growing. I mean, we're seeing more and more faculty who understand it, perhaps best symbolized by the fact that we managed to convince a foundation, the Reynolds Foundation out in Las Vegas, to come up with money for a brand new journalism institute that's groundbreaking, is going to occur here just in the fall. And in a couple of years, we'll have a brand new state-of-the-art facility for our faculty to practice new types of journalism, connect better with citizens. In fact, that's one of the missions of this new institute, is to find a way to save journalism by making journalism more relevant to today's audience. So, yeah, I think that not everyone feels that way. Not everyone believes that, citizen journalism is a good thing, but more and more of us are seeing that and putting it into practice through the programs we set up and the facilities we develop and the things we teach in class.
Save journalism. Let's talk a little bit about advertising. I touched on that at the beginning. I mean, you have an advertising segment and marketing in this program, right? I was reading where, by some estimates, the combined ad revenue for Yahoo and Google next year will equal the ad revenue of all of the four TV networks combined. This month in Fortune magazine, I saw a quote that said, in 2006, $400 million that Chrysler used to spend on TV, newspaper, and magazine ads is going to be spent on the internet. What does all that mean? What are you teaching young people about advertising these days?
I'd add to that, too. Look how Craigslist is growing and taking away classified business from newspapers all over the United States. I mean, there's no question that digital media, properly measured, provide a lot of metrics for advertisers to help them reach the customers they want to reach that we're not providing through traditional newspaper, radio, and television rating services. And so there's no question it's more difficult to make assumptions about revenue for radio, TV, and newspapers that were pretty easy to make a few years ago. Our advertising program here at the Journalism School has just started up a new agency, and its entire mission is to learn how to market more effectively to younger people.
That's got to be tough, since the pros are out there trying to figure that out right now. I mean, I don't know how you guys get a curriculum around that.
Well, I mean, again, part of it is one of the unique benefits of that made the University of Missouri's Journalism School what it is the fact that we're sitting in the middle of a relatively small market. And so what our students do competes pretty favorably with the other media produced by professionals. And that isn't just news, but also advertising. We have advertising professionals on the faculty, and these students can produce content that's every bit as compelling as something that an agency might develop. I'll just give you a classic example or two. Just in the past few weeks, we had students in one of our advertising classes who were engaged by Best Buy to come up with some strategies for reaching a younger audience to sell their products online. The students took that up as a challenge in one of the classes, produced, did the research and produced some strategies, took it up to Minneapolis, presented it to the corporation, and one of those students was just hired to help execute that content at Best Buy. A few years ago, Nokia asked our students to develop a new strategy for marketing cell phones with text messaging. And a couple of the student teams were chosen as winners, went down to Dallas, worked with a professional team to shoot these commercials, put them in, and they aired across the country. So we do have the talent. I mean, the students are clearly, you know, just extremely bright. And we do have the faculty here who understand at least, you know, what's necessary to reach these new audiences. I'm not saying we have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. But we are in a position to try things, and in a, I wouldn't say risk-free environment, but the level of risk for trying new things is much lower here than it would be if we were trying to do this in Chicago or L.A. or New York or some other major media market.
So you've got a new convergence curriculum program. Fast forward ahead a year, 2 years. What would constitute, you know, a raging success in your estimation?
A news service that has the brand of the University of Missouri Journalism School on it, that is perceived as the most trusted or one of the most trusted brands in the market in terms of delivering news and information wherever people are going to get it. If we are well known for delivering content through print, online, mobile devices, on the air, then that'll be one half of the success. The other half of the success will be if, in working with our colleagues in marketing and with the professional staff of our different media, if we figure out how to make some decent money doing that.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Anything that I haven't thought to ask about that you think fits in, you'd like to talk about?
No, I just would, I guess in closing, I'd say that the most important things to me in terms of changing the way we teach journalism don't have to do with technology. And that might be ironic because this whole sequence I'm involved with is all about new technologies. But the most important things we can do now are to, one, change our attitude about the relationship with the audience. And secondly, to focus our attention on those journalism values that really haven't changed all that much in terms of trying to be as truthful as possible, as objective as possible, as inclusive as possible. I mean, none of those things have changed. And the technology is getting so simple now for both professionals and the public to use that we can actually spend more time, I hope, going back and looking at those professional standards and ethics that are going to, more than anything else, determine whether we have a future.